And I could take all day, so I want to give him the time. But I just want to say, Terry is one of the first people I met in my work with True North as it was being formed in and we sat on the sponsoring committee together. It was before he even thought he'd be the executive director, I think. Definitely. But it is Terry that's, and others, but Terry especially, that's had a profound effect on me, hearing stories I would never have heard otherwise. And it's the biggest reason probably I stay connected with True North, is to hear the stories. And to hear from perspectives that are different from mine, not just from the Native Americans in our communities, but from all kinds of folks in our communities, is so important for us to listen to one another. And so I am so delighted that Terry is here. Thank you.
This suit jacket was for you guys to be respectful, but now. I figure more than anything else, I should be me, and you should hear what I want to try to say. Yavpamahit Ayuki Nanithwati Terisapahan. I am a Kaduk man and tribal member, as Pastor Catherine said, executive director of the True North Organizing Network. I'd like to ask my friend Brad to pause the video portion for a spiritual song from my village that I would like to... It's all you, Brad. You can turn that machine back on. First of all, I would like to apologize. When I was here last Sunday with my grandson, I was here at 10 o'clock. So I told Karen this morning, I said, let's get there early. Thank goodness I got here early, I guess. So. There are three things I'd like to tell you about. And Pastor Catherine, even though we met earlier this week, we didn't talk about time. So what time do you want me to be done telling my story? Got it. My Uncle Leonard was a Karuk and Yurok Indian logger. He worked in the woods. He started working in the woods when he was 13 with a misery whip and a partner, cutting down trees. And he worked hard all his life. And he said he didn't like the idea of Indian time. He didn't like the idea of being late for things that people agreed to. He would always say to me, Indian time is thinking about the future. Indian time is being with your people in dream time at night. Indian time is anticipating what your children need long into the future. So there were three things that I wanted to tell you about this morning. I wanted to tell you a little bit of my personal history as well as my tribal history on the Kaduk tribe and on the confluence of the Salmon and Klamath Rivers in Siskiyou County and Humboldt County. I wanted to talk to you about the importance of women and the feminine in my traditional tribal and village religion. And I wanted to close with some of the work and an invitation to the belonging circle that we've embarked on in True North through the rest of this calendar year. But the beginning part of my story, it goes back a very long ways. I live in Orleans on Red Cap Road, and I did not know until I was an adult that my great aunt, who was like a grandmother to me, who raised me, her grandmother was Mary Johnny, and her last name became Johnny because she was married to Johnny Redcap on Redcap Road. And where we've lived in that part of the Klamath and Salmon River has been for over 10,000 years. And that, I think we survived as a tribe and as a people. because it's so remote and it's rugged and it's far away. I think if we were in Eureka or in San Francisco, we would have lost a lot more, but we've been able to hang on to some things. My mother is a full-blooded Karuk and Tohono Indian, and the Tohono part comes from the Papago people in Sells, Arizona, down by Tucson, Arizona. And that happened because, and I want to tell a work story real quickly, but 2 years ago we had elected officials and county supervisors and city council people in Crescent City and in Del Norte County contact True North because the state was considering becoming a sanctuary state for all immigrants and undocumented people. And the debate was going on throughout the state, throughout counties. And some of the county officials were worried that there were elected officials who not only wanted to vote against California as a sanctuary state, but they wanted to do more than that. They wanted to write an anti-immigrant letter stating why they were opposed to it. And we had gotten a call to stand, and I thought about that when I was watching the words to your first song this morning about being strong enough to march and sometimes just being bold enough to stand with others. And True North helped to fill the Board of Supervisors chambers that morning to have the discussion and our point of view to look out for old people. And I told this story to the County Board of Supervisors, which was told to me by my great-aunt, Violet Super, who was the youngest of 15 children. And as the youngest, her mom babied her like we baby all our babies. And anytime there was a rumor of the Indian agent on the Klamath River, Indian parents would hide their children because the Indian agent would come and take and steal their children away and send them far away to boarding schools and federal places to educate them to not be Indian anymore. And my great-grandmother, Florence Jacobs, only at that time as a 12-year-old girl, she only spoke the Karuk language. When they took her, she was gone for 5 years, and they sent her to the boarding school in Phoenix, Arizona. She met a Tohono man there and had a son from him. And so we end up carrying some of that native blood from Arizona with us back to the Klamath River. I think a lot of True North's work, a lot of my work now and in the future, is wanting to not only know who I am and hopefully to do a better job of being vulnerable and being spiritually strong and trying to understand who I am and what I am in this world, but to be able to honor all the pieces and places of me so I can do a better job to do that for my children and grandchildren and for all of you. Living in this world can be a hard place, and I'm not only half Indian, I'm half Irish. And the second part of my story this morning is to celebrate who my mom is. And sometimes when I give these talks in public, I try to imagine some of the people that I need to have in the room so I don't become just a big talker and it's not just about my ego and you liking me, but trying to stay to the truth. So I'm trying to imagine my 82-year-old mother sitting here with us today. She's at home in Orleans today and couldn't make it out, but she's really intrigued, not only about me speaking with you guys here in your church this morning, but the fact that 2 weeks ago I was at the University of San Francisco talking to the Jesuits about environmental justice and theology. And my mom has a soft spot in her heart for Jesuits. She thinks they're pretty cool. So she's quite amazed that her son is doing this kind of work that she wanted me to do a long time ago. She had hopes for me. But before she had hopes for me, she had fears because she, in the late 50s, when she was graduating from high school, there were not a lot of options open to her. Her parents had died when she was little. Her mom died in childbirth when she was 4 years old, and her her father drowned in the Klamath River when he was 16 years old. So she was in the foster care system for most of her childhood. And she wanted a better life, not only for herself, but she could imagine one for her family that she wanted to have in the future. And what she ended up doing was joining the Marine Corps, because that was an option that she felt got her off into the world and got her away from the Klamath River at that time. And they put her on a bus to start her basic training in South Carolina. So she rode through the Jim Crow South and never traveled and never left Humboldt and Siskiyou counties before. So on first of the long bus ride through the South, and she saw the signs for restrooms for colored only and white only. She was really perplexed because she wasn't sure which bathroom. She knew she wasn't either. So it was a difficult and strange time, but she met and fell in love with a first-generation Irishman from County Orange in Ireland. And believe it or not, his family were potato farmers in Iowa. They had come to Iowa and did what they learned how to do. She was very much in love. I've never met my biological father. His family came out and visited her after they had decided they were going to get married. And they were very polite, but I don't think they wanted their son to marry a Native American. And so she let him go, I think, in her mind, is how she did it. I can't quite imagine how it would have felt lonely to be alone in the late 50s, without land, without parents, without options. She came home in shame. She was pregnant with me. And she didn't go home. She took a bus to Seattle. She anticipated committing suicide. And she stood on a bridge one night, she told me. She looked down at her toes, and she imagined her toes and her feet walking. She was trying to imagine walking and what future she might have. But she was afraid. She was very afraid of her future. And she stood on the bridge and decided that I was alive inside of her. And she didn't want to live, but she didn't think she should take my life. And so she changed her mind, and she called my elderly aunt and uncle. My uncle was in the fall of 1958, and of course they loved her, and they said, "We'll be right up to get you." He wasn't working, when you're a logger, you got 6 months on and 6 months off, so he was in his winter season already, and he and Auntie went up to Seattle in his Packard, and they turned it into a vacation. They went and picked her up, and when they drove past Gentoli Lane there on where 299 comes into Highway 101, and they kept going south, and my mom asked Uncle Leonard where they were going, and he said, "We're going south," and they ended up in Catalina Island, and they're just way down there. I guess they figured everybody needed a vacation, they eventually made it home. And that was my first home, was living half of the year in his cabin at the headwaters of the Sacramento River near Dunsmuir in Mount Shasta. I was born in Mount Shasta. And the other half of the year, we were at my aunt's Indian allotment on the Salmon River in Siskiyou County, just on the edge of Siskiyou and Humboldt counties. I not only want to honor and acknowledge that it's Mother's Day, but I want to move to the second part of what I'd like to say to you this morning is that a group of us helped bring back a tribal ceremony on the Klamath River at the village of Amekyatam, about 8 miles upriver from Panumnik and just a little downriver from the village of Kadamin. And that ceremony hadn't been done for almost 100 years when we brought it back almost 25 years ago. I was able to raise my children and now my grandchildren in it. I was telling my daughter Friday night, Karen and I called her, and I just wanted her to know that Karen had flown down from Portland and she was with us in part to be here. Karen's taking tomorrow off from school because she wanted to see me preach in your guys' church, I think. But I told my daughter, I forgot to tell you that I'm going to be speaking at the Methodist Church in Eureka on Sunday. And my daughter said, "Oh, I know all about it because your grandson talked all about it. He talked about how where you were, your worship's inside the house and we're outside the house." And I don't think he'd ever been to church before. But he saw Chairman Hernandez last week and he told his mom that I was speaking this week. I think he liked all the singing too. I think he liked all the singing. I've been able to help my family and friends find their way back to some of their traditional religion. And one of the things that made a lot of sense to me when we started working with the medicine people about bringing that our religion back from that village was the balance of the feminine and the masculine, the balance of men and women working in ceremony and in spiritual work. And I learn all the time, but part of what I needed to learn and have made very clear to me, even though I was raised by strong women, made a lot more spiritual sense when my words for it are that women are the boss inside the house and men are the boss on the outside of the house. We protect from out there and women protect what's in here. And I just want to lift that up, that women for us lead and walk in our traditional religion. I love the fact that when the medicine team comes onto the dance grounds, that there's a medicine man and there's a young boy that's a medicine helper as part of that medicine team. But the medicine woman and the purity medicine that's part of with her and moves with her everywhere she goes during the 10 days of our ceremony. I love the fact that in English they say that the job of woman is so big, it takes two of them. It takes the young girl and the innocence and strength of purity that represented by her, and then it takes the woman who's lived a lifetime to understand. I really admire that. And I just like to close with the work that we're doing in True North, and I've never really wavered. Maybe I haven't really grown, but I've never really wavered from my original understanding of being part of True North. Pastor Catherine and I were part of a small delegation, a small team that went back to Atlanta, Georgia a number of years ago to be introduced to this way of working in communities with a lot of different people, a lot of different religions, a lot of different races. And I've always been really clear about my participation in these things, and I didn't want it I never wanted it to be about me. I wanted it to be about what, again, thinking about my mom a long time ago, am I making it a better situation for my kids and grandkids? Not just of where they're at, but that they have options to move into other places, that they have the other, they have confidence to be able to choose where they want to be and to live their lives and to talk and engage and be in relationship with who they want to be. Those are their choices. And I love the fact that Chairman Hernandez and his wife Rosa brought into this space a discussion of their Christianity that they've formed with their native and tribal religion. Pastor Catherine and I think she heard it first when I was in Atlanta, because I've always been really clear that I was on a spiritual journey to find my traditional religion and to walk out into the world with it. The notion and the thought that my people had been around for tens of thousands of years before churches got to this region said for me that there's a lot of different ways to get back to your home village, not just one way, and I wanted to find my way. And working with the True North Organizing Network throughout the region to try to bring communication and conversation to a lot of different people was something that I've always thought was a good investment of my time for my children and grandchildren's future. And unborn, as yet not figured out, future great-grandchildren. But what we've been invited to participate in the last 6 months of this year by our statewide organization is called the Belong Circle. And it's a set of four meetings. And I really love the idea that the statewide network wanted to go deep into relationships with one another before we decide on the issues we want to work on. It's another layer of what we've always committed to at True North, of being in one-to-one personal storytelling relationship with each other, and then building into groups to work on important areas with one another. But it's an emphasis that as not only as the next 2020 election comes, but what goes beyond it. And I specifically did not look up Martin Luther King's words, but the essence of it really resonates with me, and I didn't want to copy his words, but that notion that we want our children to be judged not by what they look like, the color of their skin, but the contents of their character and what's in their heart. To me, that's what the Belong Circle is about, and that a scholar named John Powell at the Haas Institute in Berkeley, California, theorized this. It's his intellectual structure, and I forgot to say this at this past week, but I recently learned that we're part of the first time that it's being operationalized in the country. It should seem simple and powerful, but maybe it's only done in churches where people have these sensitive, faith-filled conversations. But they're really looking at Pico, California, and at True North to see how this is a theory, is that before we get into electoral politics and elections, that we actually get to know one another. And so we don't even necessarily know if it works, but we want to try it on, we want to try it out. And I just really, really like the idea that we're going to invest time to get to know one another before we get started on deeper, harder work like homelessness and water and land and immigration and other things. So I hope that Pastor Catherine will talk more about it with you. But I want to leave you with that notion, is that we have a specific invitation to belong, and the idea is that we all belong not only to ourselves but to each other. And what does that mean, and how do we get there? And we're going to be kicking that off this summer and next fall, and I hope some of you will join us. Thank you very much.